What a glorious day to be a part of the church. It is a good day to be here, and we are glad that you are here. We are kicking off a new series as we are getting ready to start into the school season. For those, depending on what school you're in, a couple have already started for the year. Some have their half days and a couple of days off and getting going on Wednesday. So we are all kind of getting back into the routine, but we are jumping into a series here throughout this month of August simply called Fishtails. Do any of you guys have any fishtails? Yeah, like mermaids, you mean, Pastor? No. Every time I say fishtails, I think of DuckTales. Anybody ever watch DuckTales?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay. It's on at our house every once in a while. You can take that sound bite out for the people online. They don't need to hear that. All right. Now, we've all heard them, and Jesus tells a lot of fishtails. Now, I don't think Jesus' fishtails go in the same categories as your granddad's or your uncle or the person who's sitting next to you right now. Don't look at them. They know, right? When we start thinking about fishtails, we think about tails that grow over time. The fish gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And in the world of cameras, we've noticed that if you hold the fish closer to the camera than you are, it looks huge, right? We know what to do. We get them mounted on our walls at home, and there's just dead fish staring at us, and we love them, right? And so we're going to tell a few fish tales as we get ready during this sermon series here in August. But in the church, we are going to be talking about what for church people is really kind of a four-letter word. And this word has more than four letters, but it's one that we don't really know what to do with. It's one that we've heard throughout our past and we feel this call and obligation to. But at the same time, it's a word that really gives us the heebie-jeebies and we don't really know what to do with it. And that simple word is evangelism. Have you heard this word before? Yeah. Now, Jesus says this in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. He's talking to the disciples or who will become his disciples. And he says, "Come follow me," Jesus says, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Now, if we're going to be honest as people of faith, if we grew up in the church, we've heard this a bunch of times. And when we say it out loud, we have the best intentions about what it means to introduce people to this person called Jesus and this understanding of this divinity and grace and love and care that is Jesus the Christ. But if you were new to church and somebody read this out loud in church, maybe you would assume the best. But if I'm going to be honest, if I put on this is my first time in church glasses, right? I don't know about that verse, right? We're going to fish for people. How many of you have ever been fishing before? Yeah, what do you do with those fish? Yeah, all right, well, like one guy throws them back. Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, right? I had some family who used to fish with M80s. Have you ever done that? Right? They're probably not watching today. They don't go to church. They have M80s. And so we used to go fishing, and we would go, and we would throw it out, and we had different lures for different kind of fish, right? Because bass only bite this one type, and catfish and carp, they bite another type, and some of them are up at the shoreline, and some of them are down deep, and if you really want the huge catfish, you go near the nuclear dam, and that's where they are, right? And you fish totally differently. And then sometimes if you go to the beach and you're fishing, you throw it way out. And if you want to get the grouper, you go all the way down to the bottom. If you want to catch the marlin, you bring it along and you got to make it angry and it's got to be shiny. There's a whole lot of nuance in this idea of going fishing. I've always called fish are just like vegetables with motors, right? Like there's just like the lights aren't on. There's not a lot going on. And when we begin to put people into that category, if somebody were to read this verse off the cuff, I don't think it lands very well. And so we as people of faith are going to be asking ourselves throughout this series, what does faithful and ethical evangelism look like in our day and age? What does it even look like to be evangelistic? We think back to large Billy Graham time and people coming together. We think back to youth camp with smoke machines and loud music and that guy they paid from Nebraska to come in and talk to you or whatever it is. We think back to these moments. Maybe you remember growing up potentially in another denomination or church if you grew up in the church and you went door to door knocking or you were trained to do so or whatever it may be. We have a whole lot. Maybe you've walked by a street preacher. You ever walked by one of those guys? I mean, everybody comes to Jesus after walking by them, right? Yeah, you're a terrible person. You're a sinner. You're a fornicator. All this stuff is wrong with you. Jesus loves you. I'm speaking the truth and love. You should accept it and take it. Yeah, if you're a fish and you're in my net and you pull me into the boat and you whack me over the head, I'll come along. But other than that, I don't know that that's exactly what I'm looking for. So we look in Ezekiel, and we have the prophet Ezekiel talking about King David that is going to come. And when he talks about David, he's not necessarily talking about King David. He's talking about the one who will be called the Son of Man, who will come through that line. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 12 begins to paint a little bit of a different picture. The Lord God proclaims, I myself will search for my flock and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out the flock when some in the flock have been scattered, so I will seek out my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered during the time of clouds and thick darkness. I will seek out the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the wounded and strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy, because I will tend my sheep with justice. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now we have in John 10, 11, if we'll throw that up on the screen, where Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. And I can't know for sure, but when we look back, Jesus may have had these verses in Ezekiel where he's saying that God is a God that cares about the lost and the stray, who binds up those who are wounded, who protects them and brings them back and takes care of them. When I begin to go back and read about being fishers of men, I know that some of that imagery is exactly what Jesus meant. He's also taking the profession that those men had, and he said, that thing you do that you're good at, where you're already connected, I'm going to help you use that to show people the love and care and grace of God. So perhaps if we look in our lives, we might be able to say, I'm going to make you a salesman for God. I'm going to make you a teacher for God. And it doesn't mean that everything that you do is wrapped up in this evangelistic Bible-thumping moment, but this opportunity to share the love of God in word and in deed. You've heard the famous quote from St. Francis of Assisi that says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Right? You've heard the quip about, most of the time, you're the first Bible that anybody ever reads. I mean, maybe they went to a hotel and they were bored and opened up the drawer and there was a Gideon Bible. But chances are high that if they don't know anything about faith and haven't been to faith, they're going to come to faith by knowing someone who has. We have these verses in Luke 15. If we looked at verse 4, Luke 15, chapter 4. Suppose someone among you had hundreds of sheep and lost one. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? Now, most of the time, church people, we like this verse because we like the idea of being the one, and we forget that most of the time we're the 99 and that Jesus is unabashedly outward focused. Jesus is unabashedly focused on those who are not a part of the religious establishment. Not a part of the people who said, I've been here all my life, or whatever it is. And how do we balance the care for the flock that we have with the flock that we don't have and the ones that Jesus says we should be loving and caring for and bringing in? Luke 15, verses 5 through 7. And when he finds it, talking about the one who lost a sheep, and places it on his shoulders, when he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, celebrate with me because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Luke 15, 8 and 9 says, Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, celebrate with me because I've lost my coin. Now, does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Yeah? That's because you were part of the skit. That's right. Yeah, you guys came up. Yeah. Y'all remember. They're the only one. That's good. I forgot too. It's okay. The prodigal son. And you see, this is the series of verses that the prodigal son appears in. It comes right after the lost coin. Jesus is recapping this understanding of what it means to go for the one over the 99, of what it looks like to lose a coin and to celebrate with joy. But then I love this imaging. You will be fishers of men or of people. I want you to be the good shepherd. And then when they just don't seem to get it, he's like, you know, what if you lost a sheep? What would you do? And they don't get it. And he's like, well, what if you lost a coin? What would you do? And they don't get it. And he says, fine. What if someone in your family ran off and did you wrong, how would you behave towards them? And then he tells us about the good father. Jesus uses this imagery of an imperfect family to show us what it looks like to always have our eyes on the horizon, to be ready to welcome home and to celebrate with open arms, to give unabashedly, to take care of those that are under our care, but also to expect them to be watching the horizon and to be ready to celebrate the lost one instead of worrying about the fatted calf for themselves. He takes an imperfect family. I don't know, your family's probably perfect, right? You can't imagine what this is like. And within that, we're given a great picture of what this idea of evangelism might look like. What it looks like to live a life where our leading edge is love of other people. So much so that they are already our family. Now, the son was already family. But Jesus didn't go just to the people who were his family. Everybody was already his family. I told you the story about my son when he was starting, I think it was first grade or second grade. I can't remember. Who knows? And the teacher asked him, and we asked him, and we said, did you make any friends today on the first day of school? And he said, yeah, we're all friends. And I said, well, do you know any of their names? And he said, no, I don't know any of their names. I said, well, did you talk to them? He said, no, I didn't necessarily get to talk to everybody. I got to talk to a couple of them. And we said, well, they're your friends? And he was like, oh, yeah, we're already friends. They just don't know it yet. Right? And he didn't mean that in a way of he was going to catch them and reel them in. He meant it in a way of he already cares about them before they cared about him. Before they earned or did anything that deserved his friendship, he was ready and open to be friends. And I believe that that's what God calls us to as a church family. And so as we get ready to look over the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through what does it look like to be focused on others the way that Jesus was? What does it look like to be fishers of people? What does it look like to be good shepherds? What does it look like to look for the one and to celebrate when it is found? What does it look like to be like the father and the prodigal son and to watch the horizon day after day after day and to run to every stranger just hoping it's the one that is your son whom you love that you are ready to welcome home? I hope that there's a little bit of encouragement here. And then when we talk about evangelism, we're not talking about becoming a street preacher and going and cold calling and knocking on doors. I went to churches where we had that experience. And I don't know of a single person that came to know Jesus because of it. I know ones who hadn't been to church in a while and hadn't been reached out to, who then felt guilty enough to come back for a little while. But I know people who have cared, who are teachers and coaches and mentors and friends and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers who are students in the same grade. And because of a life that's leading edge is love of others, the grace of God was able to permeate. Now, Jesus doesn't send us on this mission. If you ever notice, he sends out the disciples two by two. You remember that part? He doesn't send anybody out alone. He may call some of them one by one, but most of them he calls in pairs or multiples, and then he brings them together into one group, and we are strengthened one by another, not for some solo activity of heroism, but in the act of what it looks like to love God with all of our heart, so much so that we bring other people into that exact same love. And as we get ready for what that journey may look like, I think it's fitting that we have a baptism and new members joining, and also that we get to celebrate Holy Communion today. It's fitting because we are going to get strengthened for the journey. That today is an opportunity to take in the nourishment that we need, to take in the grace of God through this meal. We may not understand it. It may be somewhat of a mystery. We may be new and we're not even sure if we can come down. You can, by the way. But today, We get a little strength for the journey, a little grace for the graceless parts in our own hearts, and we get to leave here with the opportunity to share that grace with others.